6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Buddy, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, wrapping up season 8, getting ready for season 9. Lots of more G.I. Joe goodness ahead. But before that, we're on part 3 of our Robert Clark Chan inspired movies that were rated R, or at least centered towards adults, that they turned into comic book cartoon shows.
We have not done our movies. They've all been at best PG-13,
well,
or mostly PG.
Remember, Gina, when this set started, we had to move a bunch of stuff around. So all the stuff at the end is what was supposed to be at the front. And that's where we're going to get the Starship Troopers and a few other R-rated movies before Chan, you know, lost the handle on the theme and started grabbing, I guess, you know, PG Back to the Future.
Look, I'm the one that inspired this, apparently. You are. So I get to decide what's in it.
What do you mean, apparently?
I don't know. You just said that this was inspired by me. I'm the one who made the goddamn list.
So that's inspired.
That's not how that word works.
That's what it means. Anyway, this is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Bellito.
There you go.
Oh, cool. We're done. Great.
And scene.
Look, let's extend this episode just a skosh longer. I hated this. This was dumb. There is no redeeming value. We're done. Okay, now we can go. Go ahead and email us or find us on Twitter and Threads.
We're not even on Twitter anymore.
So, are we on Threads?
I mean, we have an account there. We just don't use it.
So you're just giving money to Elon Musk is what you're doing.
How am I doing that if it never gets used and no one ever logs into it?
They can still track you.
When inevitably, Chan, the banks take it away from him under bankruptcy order and they sell it to somebody who is less distasteful, maybe we start it up again.
When inevitably the banks take it and then Donald Trump decides that banks no longer are a thing anymore and takes it back, then...
Well, that's outrageous. The banks will always be a thing. He's just going to rule that they can rip us off legally. Yeah. That's what's going on.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, you keep it. I mean, you didn't, but like, you know, you keep it up. People can still follow it if they want to.
But you're much better off getting on our Patreon, getting on our Facebook group, finding us on Threads, Blue Sky, two people are on. Are we still on Hive? Do we have a Hive? Mastodon?
Pretty sure I'm on Instagram.
Yeah. Hinge, Raya, Bumblebee.
Hinge, you're not on Hinge anymore, TV's Gene Ippolito.
Hold on, Is there a dating app where you get to have sex with bees?
Yeah, or you dress up like a big bee and have sex with other people dressed up like big bees, or you dress up like a bee and have sex with real bees.
Gina, I need to know the answer to this. Have you broken your hymenoptera?
Lady Bee never tells.
That is such a good goddamn joke. And it's wasted on you.
Jan, that's wasted on this show. That is way too smart for what we're doing here.
You got some, we've got some entomologists in the audience. We have to. There's got to be at least one. Got to
be
and
one.
They're like, I've been waiting my whole life to find a situation where I can make that joke. And I just fucking found it.
Not only is there an entomologist, this is the first time they've ever listened to the show.
Oh, wow. And I said my name at the beginning. So this is like a banner day for those people.
Anyway, I know we're trying to put it off, but we are talking about the Dumb and Dumber cartoon, a cartoon I did not know existed.
Is Gina feeding her cats?
She loves to multitask. I was going to make a feeding your cats joke earlier, but I thought that was too on the nose.
No, I left a can for them to lick, and now Gamut is going crazy on it. Hang on.
My goodness. Dumb and Dumber, ladies and gentlemen. A movie, honestly, I enjoyed. The second, like, there's no good sequel, but like that first one is a legitimately very funny movie.
Hold on. Is Gina back yet?
Yes.
Okay. Let's play a quick game. What's one fact about me regarding Dumb and Dumber? I'm going to let you guess what it is.
Are we doing two truths and a lie, or just we have to guess something?
Nope, you just have to guess something.
Oh, were you an extra in the movie?
I was not.
Did you do a comedy sketch where you played one of these two characters on stage?
No.
I have
not seen this movie. I will never see this movie.
Wait, did you?
That's the fact. You've never seen the movie?
And this
that's outrageous. It's very funny.
Trash. That's it.
Gina, you've seen the movie.
Yes, of course I've seen this movie. I've seen this movie probably 10 times.
Yeah, what monster wouldn't have seen this movie and makes it a pride point for some reason? It's a smart movie about stupid people.
Is it a smart movie?
No. I will say this is the problem with this cartoon is within 30 seconds, I was like, oh, you cannot sustain an entire cartoon just based on the fact that people are stupid.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because
like this is part of a school of 90s cartoons that were like, let's just have fun. Let's explicitly not have a message. Let's just do silly things and string it out for 30 minutes. And the problem is like when you don't have any kind of through line and you're just like, let's throw wacky things together for that long. It just gets tiresome.
In my Wikipedia research, it said that this was one of three cartoons around this time. This was the last Hanna-Barbera cartoon to air on network TV instead of on Cartoon Network. This was one of three cartoons based on Jim Carrey movies. So it was this.
With the mask?
The Mask and Ace Ventura. And The Mask and Ace Ventura both went multiple seasons. This one only went one. And I think it's because you cannot sustain a show based on the concept that two people are so dumb that they basically shouldn't be alive. Mm-hmm. Like two adults this dumb would be dead. Like there's no way they would survive.
I will say this cast list is phenomenal, just for the record.
Like one of the voices, I'm not real good at picking out voices, but one I can spot in a goddamn crowd no matter what is Matt Frewer.
He's fantastic.
As soon as I heard him, I'm like, you know what? There's one redeeming quality to the show.
Yeah, I you know what? The fact that they got, like, the fact that, I mean, this is another one of those, just like when we watch Back to the Future, where they obviously weren't going to get Jim Carrey and they obviously weren't going to get
Jeff Daniels.
But Matt Frewer is a good get.
He wasn't a big name at this in the 90s, though.
He was already Max Headroom.
Yeah, but also he's never been a big name.
But Max Headroom's a big deal to the three of us and no one else.
And no, all the Max heads out there.
Yeah, both of them.
All the headroomies. As
oh, my God.
But much like other cartoons we've covered, this was, they did what they all do, very formulaic, which is add an animal with the intelligence of a human, which we've seen in, again, Mork and Mindy. They added an alien dog. Punky Brewster, wasn't there some sort of dog added to it?
Like an alien of some kind, yes.
And that's what they do. Also, the van is also sentient in this, which is
weird.
That
was one of my main questions coming out of this that I could not figure out.
No.
Is the van a living creature?
Hat on a hat.
They have a very smart beaver who's the penny to their Inspector Gadget. The beaver, who they think is a cat for some reason, because that's how stupid they are, is the smart one of the show. But then they also have a van, which is the van from the movie that, like, looks like a dog. Like, it's it, like in the movie, I think it was what, like a grooming van or something.
I believe that was right. Yeah.
And in this episode, the van, like, moves on its own. And at some point, one of them is like, whoa, it's never done that before. And I was like, what is the science? Like, has it never done that before? Or is it a sentient dog-like creature?
Yeah.
What's going to be crazy is we watched episode one, Otto's Best Friend, which...
Look at me giving you the first episode of a series, like, you're constantly complaining about. And did it help?
Well, here's the thing I want to point out. I'm looking at IMDb, and there are ratings for every episode of this show. What you're not going to believe, or maybe you will, this episode is the highest rated episode of the entire series of Dumb and Dumber. It doesn't get better than this. In fact, somehow it gets much worse.
And here's the thing. Like, the show is created by, I believe, one of the writers of the Dumb and Dumber movie. I think it's Bennett Yellen. I understand why it got made. Like, obviously, you know, like, hey, take the money. They're offering it to you. Do the thing. And it just didn't work out. And, you know, you move on. So, like, I'm not mad at this thing because I understand what it's trying to do. It's just like, ugh, there's nothing.
It's too much.
It's just too much. A screenwriter who doesn't understand how to make cartoons, trying to make a cartoon and just making all the mistakes that you would naturally make.
Well, you know, Gina said it was a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat.
No, I said that.
I can't tell the difference.
Gina, by agreeing, you said it.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, it's just, I don't need a deep plot in my cartoons, but
you just need a thick plot. It doesn't need to be deep. It needs to be thick.
It needs to be wide.
Some sort of sex thing. Is that a thing?
It doesn't need to be deep. It needs to be wide. So I feel a little bit better. But no, but the thing is, like, this just kind of, it keeps a general through line, but bounces between things that don't make sense to other things that don't make sense. And it's just one after another. And I understand that they are dumb and do not understand things. Please, I get the show is Dumb and Dumber. But there's just a certain point where something has to follow any kind of pattern of logic for me. And it just never gets on track for this show. And I kept finding myself irritated over and over and over again, even after the point where, like, I was clear what this show was and it wouldn't get any better, to the point where, we'll get to it, they're adding in plot points with 2 minutes to go in the episode.
Yeah, I will also say their stupidity from a kid standpoint confuses me, because the game of this whole show is they're so dumb and they, like, get easily confused by things. But a big part of this episode is that they are heading to Paris, which I would argue little kids do not realize is actually not in France. Like that there is another place in the US called Paris, which is Paris, Texas.
What? There's a Paris, Texas?
This is what I'm saying. The fact that like it's like, oh, look how dumb they are that they think they're driving to Paris. But I would argue that this needs to be much more obvious for little kids to realize it's dumb. And then there's a joke there where they're like, where Harry says, oh, we can't drive to Paris. And Lloyd says, why not? And Harry says, because we don't have passports. And I think, again, needing passports is too smart.
Well, that's the screenwriter going, oh, I need a joke for adults in here, and putting that in and kind of not realizing that, like, that's not all you need.
Yeah.
That's wild, because my brain thought of Paris, Tennessee, which I just made sure I looked up. That is another real place in America.
Fun fact.
But either way, what's the difference?
There is a town up in the Bay Area called Terra Linda. And when I was a little kid, I confused that with London. So one time my uncle was driving me somewhere and I fell asleep at the car. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, my God, we made it to Terra Linda. That's like the other side of the world. And I truly believe that, even though like 5 minutes later we were home. But look, kids are dumb. Some kids are dumb.
You know, well, I got messed up on family trips when we would stop in Cleveland, Tennessee as well. On the way back from Florida vacations. Be like, what are we doing in Cleveland?
Does this town still rock?
It did not. Neither of them does.
Oh, wow.
Surprise. Take that, Ohio.
Good to know.
Catch it strays in the Dumb and Dumber episode.
Pop, pop.
Okay, my first note on this is we're 1 second in and I hate this. I mean, maybe it was 2 seconds, but when I saw them dressed like hula girls performing on stage with a band of some kind, I don't even know what the deal is with that. So here's Chandler. Let's hear a little bit of these opening intro, because it's music with no words. So I meant to use the things that happened on screen for me to understand the story of who we are and why we're here. And then, so I'd like you to play a little bit of it, and I'll just write you my stream of consciousness as I was watching this melange of nonsense.
All right, then.
They didn't have AI music back in 1995, but now I'm not sure.
This actually sounds very on brand for 1995, to be honest. I mean, honestly, it's kind of similar to last week's Back to the Future song.
Yeah, like not too far off.
They popped up some, they synth popped up some Huey Lewis for that one.
Right.
So here's my notes I wrote. I wrote 1 second in and I hate this, said that. And then I'm trying to figure it out because they keep changing costumes around this beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. So I wrote, so this show is about them acting foolishly in order to bang a hot chick. But then that hot chick turns out to be actually a beaver.
But that, which makes, I mean, they still get to touch a beaver, which is the whole point,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Ray, are you not aware that all hot chicks are beavers underneath?
You know, this is the first time finding it out. I got a lot of questions about my past now.
You have a child, Ray. How do you know this?
Oh, no. Anyway, and then my final note was, this is the pilot. This is the very first thing they want to put in front of your eyes when you tune into this show, not sure of what's going on, was that. And it did not make me happy. What also didn't make me happy was the opening scene, where they're driving in this dog truck, which will be very important to the plot later, as we've intimated. Lloyd, the Jim Carrey character, apparently sucks through a straw a milk box so hard that he inhales the entire article.
And here's the thing, like, that is a perfectly acceptable physical gag. You know, like, if it wouldn't be out of place in a Daffy Duck cartoon, that sort of thing.
Sure.
But I don't know. I feel like I want to say that, like, establish the ground rules for me in this world. Like, what are they capable of doing? What is, you know, what are the physics of this world? And I suppose that's sort of an establishing thing. It just felt boring, cliche, you know.
I mean, also they're singing a million bottles of milk on the wall.
Yeah.
And then there was what I would find at least an acceptable joke where they're finishing the song down from a million. And he's like, let's sing it again. And the other one's like, well, we've already done it 10 times today. You know what? All right. I didn't like it. But at least that's a proper joke.
Do we think that every episode is them on some sort of weird road trip? Is that what it is? Because I guess that was a big part of the movie. In the movie, they're like trying to get a briefcase back to a hot lady because they didn't realize that she's paying blackmail money or something like that.
Yeah, they drive from Rhode Island all the way to a ski resort in Colorado. It is a travel trip vacation movie, Chan. It's also very funny, Chan.
Doubt that.
Also, it's got this cartoon has the what I would refer to as the 90s Nickelodeon art style. This Ed and Eddie kind of style of animation and drawing that I never synced with, I'll be honest with you. So I don't think they're not doing themselves any favors at all, as far as I'm concerned, in this show.
When I saw it was produced by Hanna-Barbera, I was like, holy shit, I didn't even realize that they ever broke from their house style.
I guess towards the end, they were trying stuff, right? Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, sure.
And yes, they think the beaver is a cat. And they see a sign on the road saying Paris 300 miles. And Gina went over the jokes, which again, like, they're at least real jokes. They're a shadow to what the movie presents us with, but
I just think a kid watching this wouldn't get it, and it's not smart enough for adults to find it funny. Like, if you're going to have a joke that goes over kids' heads, it better be worth it.
Yeah. But it wasn't.
You're right, it wasn't.
I guess what I'm saying is, I guess looking back on it now, I at least appreciate that there were actual jokes. As I'm watching it, I didn't recognize that any actual jokes were happening. It just seemed like a lot of noise and shapes.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite character is the beaver. I would watch a show where he owned a business or something.
I mean, but even the beaver just feels just so rote.
Forced in there?
Just like, oh, look, it's the smart animal that is the voice of reason.
Yes, it's very formulaic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's what makes the movie so good, is there's no adult human beaver.
There's no beaver.
to guide them along, they have to do it themselves.
I mean, like, here's the thing. In the movie, they are, it's the movie is Pink Panther-y. They are, through the fact that they are so stupid, they manage to sort of avoid these criminals who think they're very smart because they don't, they just keep like lucking into things. So the criminals think like, oh my God, they're geniuses because they keep sort of doing these things that get them out of it. But there's no foil in this episode. Like, we don't meet the little guy until like halfway through.
Right.
And even he is just like, what? He like just wants their car. Like, that's it. There's no real stakes to it.
I assume he's like a through line. Like, he comes back every week to try and.
He does. And you know who does the voice of Mr. Weenie?
Yeah.
Goddamn SpongeBob SquarePants himself, star of Mr. Show, Tom Kenny, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Who plays the non-Matt Frewer dummy?
Somebody I've never heard of before. Do you know him? I thought you were setting it up on a tee. The other performer in the show, the guy who plays Harry, is Bill
Patrick
Fadgerbacki. Oh, he is Patrick right there in his IMDb.
Jesus Christ, Ray.
I don't know who that is. I don't watch. I've never seen SpongeBob.
I see. That's
literally, I don't think I've ever seen a SpongeBob now that I think about it.
You don't watch SpongeBob, or like you have, your daughter hasn't like driven you mad with the?
No, she's not into SpongeBob.
Well, she's wrong.
I've watched a lot of Gabby's Dollhouse. I've watched a lot of Bluey. Sure. A lot of, now it's about YouTube. So I'm watching a lot of Lanky Box, a lot of Mikey and JJ Minecraft.
Hold on. Save it for my three dads.
Oh, yeah. That is the next thing we're going to be talking about, isn't it? After the one we just recorded. Or no, it is the next one we're recording. I don't know what's happening. Look, my new My Three Dads came out like a week or two ago. You should probably go check it out. More My Three Dads content in 2025. What's going on?
I mean, more than zero. So, yeah, sure.
That's more. Anyway, I don't even remember them seeing a sign that says there's a car show going on, but they decide that in order to afford to go to Paris, which is 300 miles away, they need to enter their dog car into a car show to win a bunch of money and then go to Paris so the Jim Carrey character Lloyd can bang a French girl. Right?
But then they end up in Paris. And
but they go to Paris, where the car show is happening, and this is where I get very confused about what they're trying to set up.
They'll be able to afford to stay there.
Okay.
Like I think that they say, oh, we'll go there, we'll win this car show, and whatever money we win will let us afford to. I agree that it is a roundabout logic.
No, it's a very contrived show. Even the next bit where they're like, we better wash the dog car. So they have a fireman's hose attached to the dog car somehow. They start trying to hose it down. They fly in the air with the pressure of the hose. A limousine pulls next to them and rolls the window down. So, of course, they shoot the hose into the limousine, flood the limousine to the point where they have to open all the doors to let the water out. And it's just, again, hat on a hat and a hat. That was a great point, Gina, when you made it earlier and no one else. And it's so contrived, and it's just too much. It's too much.
I mean, honestly, it's not enough. There's nothing. I tried taking notes because I'm like, there's got to be something I could even get mad about. And there wasn't even that. It was just like, oh man, you know what? This guy. Probably, you know, he's not going to survive till 2025 on the residuals of Dumb and Dumber. He's got to do other stuff. Like, sure, man, get that paycheck. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
You're disappointed for a property you've never seen before.
And I never will see it.
Now that feels like a threat.
It is.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Humanoids have long felt the need to escape the rigors of life through streaming content. And it is I, only I, who possess the necessary skills to fulfill that need. It is my purpose.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And again, for the contrivance here, there's a nerd in the limousine. And he works for Mr. Weenie, who's our main arch villain. Weenie Van Vanderbilt? Something like that. It's lame. And Mr. Weenie, has a car collection of cars that look like different animals.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand this part.
It's a car.
Are they like
zoo.
Collectibles? Oh, no, I see.
So, like, in this world, there are car-animal hybrids that are not completely normal, but are a thing that people recognize and are okay with. Are your cats playing ping pong, Gina? Just curious.
It sounded like Connect Four to me, but...
Like that big Connect Four, like you get it
an outdoor... Oh, the huge one. They're doing with actual tins of Nine Lives.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
They just drop them in the top with their mouth. Yeah. I think Gina's gone.
I'm mentally gone.
Here's the thing, and I realized in this moment, like, what really made me mad about this show is I'm fine if a show is like Crazy Town Bonkers. I'm fine if a show is like all over the place and has its own like universe, its own physics. But I want them to establish what the rules of this world are. And then work within that framework. What really made me mad is a lot of stuff just sort of happens that's so left field, and it's never set up at any time before that. The dog being a sentient creature isn't even really hinted at until like 9/10 of the way through the show. And not only that, the villain seems to know this. And
like, is that why he wants it? Yeah. I like when he sees like a map of like, oh, these are all the animal cars that I want, which it's not clear if they're worth a lot of money or if he just wants them to complete his collection. And if so, why? It just seems like they're vehicles. But then later on, I was like, oh, does he want it because it's sentient? Like, because that would, if someone was like, I have a sentient car, I would be like, I'm gonna fucking steal that sentient car and get me a kit.
Yeah, but like, even when we cut to them in the garage later and he has all the cars, they're not moving. They're just sitting there.
Yeah.
So,
and if they had been like, oh my God, I have all of these car animals, but that's the only one that like seems to like have a personality, I'd be like, okay, that sort of tracks why you would want to do something like this.
No, but they never mentioned it again after the initial mention.
Nope.
It's just a normal car again, even though it runs on like ICs.
Around 8 minutes or so, like the car flips out and like
it looks like it breaks down. Like, okay, like,
oh, you're right.
Car is out of gas, or the car is broken in some way.
They flipped it.
It flips over, not because they're driving poorly, but just all of a sudden the car does it. And then they're like, oh, it's just because he had some bad gas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then the car flips back over and then drives away again. And at that point, I'm like, was it bad gas? Obviously, this is some sort of living creature, some sort of horrid Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah, did Weenie create these cars at some point and they got loose? And because that would explain why he wanted them back. If he like was a mad scientist splicing animal and car DNA, and then one night they all escaped, and he's made it his mission to recapture them rather than, you know, let the human race be mauled by these vehicles. That's a backstory I can get behind.
Perhaps that's backstory that we find out later.
Because I got the vibe Mr. Weenie was like a Texas oil billionaire, which also he tells this nerdy sidekick, you know, character. He's like, get me that car in under any means possible, you know, steal it, blanket, you know, rob it. But if it all fails, pay for it. And then the guy comes over and he offers them $20,000 for the 1984 Mutt van. And I'm like, if this guy is so rich, he's collecting these cars, surely he could offer them like $150K, way more than it's worth, and just get the fucking car. Nothing to him.
There are moral questions about whether or not you should sell a sentient creature.
But I don't think they know their car is sentient.
This is why I have questions.
It's a very upsetting. Anyway, we take an ad break there. And while we do that, let's take one here as well. We'll be right back. Let's see if that happens.
It will not.
Okay. So the nerd approaches the car, and this is where he offers him $20K. And one of the bits is he keeps approaching the car as they're like doing stuff to the car. So they just keep dropping things on top of him. Like, I think like a bunch of suds and other things that just keep covering him. His name is Duncy Dumpster, by the way.
They're not doing it on purpose. They're clueless that he's there.
Yes. It's not malicious. It's just foolishness. Yes. And so we do that for longer than is comfortable. And, you know, he offers him 20 grand, which is not a bad price, but obviously for any kind of working automobile, even 30 years ago.
No, I think that was a good price.
That's a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah. I think it's a good price for that van that probably gets terrible gas mileage.
It's a 1984, and this is the year 1995. So, you know, it's like someone says, like, hey, I want to buy your 2014. What's a bad car? Like, not like a Toyota where, like, could conceivably still be.
Or a Tesla.
The 2014 Pinto. Yeah, sure. Like a 2014 electric car where we know the battery is probably bad and, you know, it's not going to drive very well. And then to be offered $20,000 in 1995 would be, you know, $50,000,
$60,000. It's about $42,000.
Later on, these guys think $50 is the most money they've seen, which I also do not appreciate that, like, I don't appreciate that this is an episode where they're offered money and they're like a lot, like arguably a lot of money. And they're like, no. But then later on, they hear about $50 and they're like, oh, my God, that's the most money ever.
I 100% expected that gag to show up because it is someone who's just like, oh, the gag is they're stupid. So literally any stupid thing they do counts as character development.
Yeah, I mean, even if they were to even put in the bit where they were like 50 is more than 20, it's at least something. But they don't even do that.
No,
they just say like, oh wow, we're gonna win money. How much? Oh my God, $50. It's like the most money in the world. And there's not, like, I think they say something about like, oh, we would feel bad about selling the van or something. But there's not even a moment where they're like, he offered us $20,000. That's the most money in the world. It's just a very strange hodgepodge the bit.
Yeah, especially given the fact that they're told that the entrance fee to the competition is $10,000 to win 50.
Right.
Yeah, well, they don't learn how much money they'll win until later, which, I mean, I guess is like their idea of setting up a joke.
I guess it just, it doesn't land, obviously. It's confusing, mostly. Again, you've established rules for this world, or you haven't, and then you just pull something out of left field and say, see? And it's like, I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't care for this.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rare, all three of us don't like it, which doesn't happen very often.
I mean, it only ran for one season, so that tracks.
Well, they go to a Tex-Mex diner, and this is where, I mean, Gina, you've got to have some thoughts on this scene, where Lloyd Christmas, the Jim Carrey character, wants to go meet French women now that they're in Paris, and he sees the first woman that he sees, and he sees her in front of a mud puddle, so he takes off her white mink coat or whatever, drops it in the puddle, and then runs away?
This actually was kind of a funny bit, I thought, because this to me does track as stupid. He knows he should do something. He knows you're supposed to put a jacket over a mud puddle for a pretty woman, but he doesn't realize it's supposed to be his own jacket because the whole point is that they don't get messed up. I think that that's kind of a funny bit.
It at least plays on an actual thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was just disappointed that there was essentially no reaction from the woman because, like,
nothing.
Like, comedy has got, you know, like your center and your eccentric, and a lot of people think that like the center is there. There's nothing to it. It's the wacky guy that's going around, and like that's the funny part.
No,
but really, it's the reaction of the center that
the Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles,
the Phil Hartman in everything.
Yeah, I always go to news radio because I feel like one of the greatest centers of all time. Phil Hartman gets to be the crazy guy in that one, which is wonderful.
He does. That's the opposite of Saturday Night Live.
But Dave Foley, like. He does such a great job of just like seeing just absurdity and trying to deal and doing it and underplaying it in such a great way.
Yeah.
And this one is like the lady's like, and then just stands there and they don't even bother to fucking animate.
No, they don't.
Some kind of reaction other than just like her jaw is open and then just stands there frozen the entire time.
You need the person. They're not the straight man to just stand there doing nothing. They're there to tether the crazy person to reality.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen here. Like, at all. It's just one crazy thing after another that doesn't tie together. So, and then my next point here, why does he immediately go from that to setting up an entire table and chairs outside of a business on the sidewalk and getting in the way? Because he's pretending he's at a restaurant?
I believe that's a Parisian cafe that he's attempting to emulate.
Yeah, he, again, has a very basic knowledge of a thing and sets up that thing in a dumb way.
Yeah, he conjures an entire outdoor table set. And then the locals try walking by and they sort of bump into him. And then the local townies of Cleveland, of Paris, are so mad at him. And I'm like, why? Why are they so mad? And they also never appear again. They just introduce this angry townies concept to then dismiss it immediately. This is why I'm so unhappy with this.
It's kind of hard because like the idea is that he's being such a problem doing this thing that everybody gets mad at him, but he like sort of bumps into someone lightly. He asks a guy to bring him a cup of steam, but it's not like he's insulting him particularly. He's just sort of, he's a crazy guy, and some crazy guy is asking you to do a thing. You're like, no, and then you walk away.
Yeah. I don't know. And then we get to the part where, you know, the entrance fee, you didn't pay the entrance fee to enter our competition. It's $10,000, but we'll pay it, but we'll split the winnings. But if you lose, we keep your van. And they're like, yeah, man, sounds good. We can't lose.
Yeah, again, this is sort of in keeping with their stupidity. Like, it's not the craziest thing in the episode.
I don't agree. I think that this just goes beyond their stupidity is just not understanding things. But very clearly, 10,000 is much larger than splitting 50 and the threat of losing their van that they wouldn't even sell for double that amount. It just doesn't pass the smell test. And I have a lot of scented candles going right now. And so
it's because you fart a lot.
I mean, where's the lie? That's not why I do it, Gina. I do it for love of the game. Smell game.
Candle game.
Go to Michael's, 3 for $10. Get you some candles. They're delightful.
I spent
Welcome back to Candle Talk.
On supplies for a solar system project for a first grader.
That sounds like a you problem, because the dollar store exists and it would have been just as good.
It would not have been. I am told via my child that his was the biggest solar system, and so I count that a win. Also, now I have a hot glue gun. I don't know what I'm going to hot glue.
Unfortunately, I do.
Yes.
Well, I'm not telling you. You haven't figured it out yet. I'm going to let you figure that out on your own time, in alone time.
You saying that I should hot glue my hand to my dick? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, among other things, yeah, that is what I'm saying.
That doesn't seem comfortable.
Chan, it's not always about comfort.
You make a good point there.
Well,
I will explore this further.
Speaking of uncomfortable, I wasn't expecting a Donald Trump joke.
I wasn't either, and wow, that dude's been around for a long fucking time.
Yeah, he refers to himself as Donald. They refer to him as Donald Rump, implying that he's good at business. Remember when that was a thing?
Well, then we'll see you at the car show, gentlemen. Oh, and good luck.
Well, Donald Rump. You proved yourself to be a hard-hitting businessman. That deal is foolproof.
Huh.
Yeah, here we are in 2025.
It's different.
Oh, no. Everything's terrible. Anyway, yeah, $50 to the winner, and I just wrote, what the F even is this show at this point? It's time for the show. The dog van grows a cowlick, like alfalfa from the our gang kids.
And if there were sort of a running bit in this that the car does things or things happen to it that make it look messy, so they're worried that they wouldn't win. This would be a fine beat of that game. You know, like it could jump around in muddy puddles. It could lick itself. It could do other dog type things that they would then be worried would lose them, you know, this coveted show. But they didn't. It was just like a one-off thing. Fucking lazy.
Yeah, and I know you call them the Little Rascals. I know them as our gang. It tracks. I just know somebody's going to call me out on that. I may as well get ahead of it.
It's Little Rascals, not our gang.
Our gang was the 1922 movie, Robert Clark Chan.
Is it 1922 right now, or is it 2000 goddamn 25?
Both seem equally ridiculous.
So there we go.
As ridiculous as this show.
Good way to bring it back.
No, I
are they the all dead yet? Say. Because that's what would happen if two people this stupid were.
I mean, I'm just looking at the Jeff Daniels character flying through the air and then landing in the ground and smashing a hole into the ground. So, like, yes, technically he would be dead if you were
yeah.
So you're saying that they clearly have superpowers in this, and that's the only reason they're not dead. It would be like if Superman was incredibly dumb.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, Jeff Daniels' character, Harry, is combing with a giant comb this cowlick on the top of the car. He ends up getting flung like a catapult by this cowlick, flies through the air, and Lloyd looks at him and says, what do you say? Have a nice trip.
And
it doesn't work. That doesn't go together.
Here's the thing. Like, the problem with this show is that, like, Harry, I guess, is supposed to be very, very, very slightly smarter than Lloyd.
Yes.
But you can't have two complete idiots. Like, that's not how comedy duos work.
No.
That's why I've never watched the movie. The
movie's great.
You keep saying it, but everything you have provided me in terms of support of that statement has not.
You just have to see it. There's a lot of great scenes where they're talking about things incorrectly, and then they do the bit where the one person seems to understand what they're actually talking about and then turns it back on its head again and goes even further in the wrong direction. They do it over and over again, and it always works for me.
Would it make a difference if I can't stand Jim Carrey? Would that alter my enjoyment of the film at all?
One of the most brilliant comedic performers in history? I get that Ace Ventura is a transphobic property. It's baked into the literal story and script of the movie, and there's a lot of good things to like about that movie, but that's a big sore spot.
If you end that movie 15 minutes early, you can pretend it doesn't exist.
Yes, and maybe you should.
I can pretend the movie doesn't exist right now. Look at me. Boom.
But like, there's a lot of very funny things in that movie. Well, I mean, he's a brilliant performer. What are you talking about?
Even before we get to the transphobia of that particular property, I don't like Jim Carrey's comedic performances.
I don't understand.
That's an insane statement, and I think it's time we retire this podcast.
I've got more unpopular opinions.
We can
keep this going for the rest of the.
No, I don't think we should. I think you should put yourself out of your misery.
I just don't know
Lord
how one
knows
goes.
I've tried.
Yeah, well, he's like Bruce Banner, the Hulk. You know, he just comes back as the Hulk. Gina, I don't know what's going on with this Chan fellow. Like, I don't know how a person. I can understand you saying, you know what, sometimes it's a little too over the top. But he's had so many nuanced and different, but ultimately very obviously good and talented performances in a variety of films. There's something there, no matter what level of comedy you like. Like, how do you not appreciate the man's talent?
That's an insane statement.
I like his work on In Living Color.
Yeah, he was great on In Living Color.
It's also some of the most problematic work he did outside of the transphobia.
I mean, that entire show. Yeah, obviously.
That entire show is one big problematic mess, yes. Anybody who at home, if you haven't watched it recently, let me remind you, they do bits about two gay guys, extremely gay guys, talking about movies. They do a bit about a handicapped superhero. Jim Carrey plays Vera DeMilo, the workout fitness guru. What am I missing? The homeless guy bits where they make fun of homeless people. How many more are there? There's got to be a lot more that's just under the radar. The unremembered stuff. Very problematic show.
Indeed.
But very funny. Back in its day.
For its time.
So what's your favorite Jim Carrey movie, Chan? I just want to sit on this for a second.
Oh. I mean, here's the thing. There are so, even if you don't like him when he's doing huge comedy roles, you could still say Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. You could
for
still
example,
say
The Truman Show.
Man on the Moon. You could still say Truman Show. He's so fucking good in all three of those movies, and he's not doing his talking out of his ass thing.
I will say this. I have, in spite of myself, enjoyed his performances in all three Sonic films.
You know what? Thank you. He's brilliant, especially Sonic 3. Holy crap. The number of people I saw online saying, especially from like younger people who didn't like get Jim Carrey, they were like, I think I finally get what Jim Carrey's deal is and why people like it after Sonic 3.
I feel like it's one of those things where he sort of aged into it.
No, I think he was always good. I think he was like always great. He just relied on what he was known for so long. And then when he finally was like getting those dramatic roles, people were like, holy shit, he's like really good, which is something I think like Mike Myers, for instance, has not been able to pull off.
Yeah, I agree.
But like other big comedians have been able to pull off. And I think Mike Myers is super funny. But like, you know, when he's even when Mike Myers has sort of gone dramatic, he's still got that shtick going on. Whereas like Jim Carrey in The Truman Show is heartbreaking.
Yes.
I don't love that film, but I'm not putting it on Jim Carrey particularly.
Jan, how are you still alive? You're such a grump.
Earth Girls Are Easy.
Oh, I do love Earth Girls Are Easy.
Gina Davis, brilliant.
Yeah, I do love Earth Girls Are Easy. It's a great cast.
It's great. I mean, I'm going to talk about the Batman movie. I mean, for God's sakes, he crushes that Batman movie. He goes nuts, and I love him for it. And Tom Lee Jones might be even doing a more crazy performance than he is. I mean, did you get like Debbie Mazar and Drew Barrymore as his two beaux? That's brilliant. Brilliant movie.
Are we done with this stupid cartoon?
No.
We're trying to straighten it out.
This cartoon's not done with us.
People who come for an hour of content get their fill.
They get that. So let's see. Okay, so they see that Mr. Dumpster, the nerd who works for the Wiener guy, is like the judge. I don't know how they know he's the judge. He's just sitting in like the box overlooking the stadium that they're somehow in this 300-person town. And he says, oh, our friend is judging. We're a shoo-in to win now. At which point Beaver, their beaver friend, sees the garage full of all the other animal cars. He immediately puts together what's going on. And he tries. Okay, well, hold on a sec. Because we got to go back to where they're getting the car ready again with a blow dryer this time, which again launches them flying through the air. The blow dryer is so powerful, it blows all the other cars in the competition into a pile of trash, thereby making them the de facto winner of the competition. So they win the $50, shared $25. And Mr. Wiener apparently is going to hunt this dumpster fellow for sport because he's so mad. He gives him a head start, like most dangerous game.
Yeah, you conflated a whole bunch of stuff. But
probably.
The upshot is the
Beaver. Does it matter?
Like, figures out what's going on, tries to tell them. It's a weird thing where he like whistles and
he does this after this scene.
Make a noise.
Because the car gets pulled away by the stake first.
Right, but did they win it at that point?
They win it right there. Oh, and he says, I'm here, I can't even find the awful tower.
Right.
The awful tower, ladies and gentlemen.
That is a little kid joke. That is something that would make little kids laugh.
Yeah, whatevs. That's it is what it is.
It is, in fact, what it is. Yes, they, and then at this point, Dumpster pulls a stake out and gets the car to follow him into the garage where he's captured. And then there, Harry and Lloyd are at a diner where he says this chocolate milk isn't milkshake isn't stirred enough. So the waitress puts her mouth on the straw and blows into it a whole bunch to mix it up. And I'm just horrified by this. That is grotesque to me.
I wish they had sort of like explained that this is a very bad diner so that that sort of makes more sense. Otherwise, it's just like some random waiter doing that for.
Thank you. This has been my entire problem with this entire cartoon. Nothing is set up and then they just do shit. And yeah. It makes me so mad. In this case, reviled.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Gina, has anybody ever blown into your milkshake?
You know, I don't want to talk about my kinks on this show. That's for a different podcast.
Now that's a fair point. That's a very fair point.
I first thought that Ray was suggesting milkshake as some other body part or whatever that somebody would do something with. Then Gina made it about a specific kink in which someone blows into a drink of hers and she becomes aroused by that. I'm like, Jesus, is that even weirder? I guess. Yeah.
I'll be honest. When I threw that grenade in the room, I had no idea where I was even going with it. I'm like, y'all interpret this throw.
Sure. Milkshake. Am I right? Huh?
I mean, honestly, now I'm thinking about it. There's like three or four different ways you could take that.
Indeed.
One of which was literal. Good job, TV's Gina Ippolito.
Listen, hire me to write on your 1995 one season cartoon based on a movie about dumb guys.
You know, I'm just saying right now, I think Gina could take the Dumb and Dumber property and make big things out of it.
You know what? Done and Dunner.
It could be bigger than the Kool-Aid movie.
See what Gina did there.
Okay, so at this point, we're adding new story elements. And this is what I wrote. 2 minutes from the ending. I looked at the timer. We are 2 minutes from the closing credits. We're introducing a new dilemma. Like, they don't know how to build anything on this show. It's frustrating. And the Beaver is frustrated with them because they do not understand what he's trying to say. So this was the one bit that kind of worked for me in the entire show. The Beaver builds up off camera. He's building something. And I'm like, all right, it's gonna be like an arrow. It's gonna be, you know, whatever. It's gonna be something to just point them, maybe a crude drawing of the car. And instead, it's a giant, like, a whiteboard with the words written out of exactly what's happening. And I went, all right, you know what? Okay, good job. That one bit worked for me.
Mm. Clearly, Chan disagrees.
I mean, it just sort of like introduced something about the world that
is like, insane.
Follow up on. Yeah.
I mean, this Beaver is the Penny's dog from
Brain
Inspector Gadget, because right. Penny's dog could also like understand words and, but like couldn't speak. This seems like a bit that Penny's dog would do.
Yes. So they go to
It seems like a bit that happens because Penny's dog never spoke and never did anything like this. And so it's just sort of like, hey, what if Penny's dog actually like painted a sign and put glowing, you know, light bulbs all around it and, you know, whatnot, which I guess.
Look, for what everything else the show is doing, that bit at least was surprising and gave me a piece of actual comedy.
Okay. You know what? We all need a little joy in life.
Thank you. Look, I got to take it where I can get it, you know? And Chan refuses to take it at all. That means extra for us.
Chan like spends cake. His entire existence trying to snuff out joy. So
Chan gets secret joy and he doesn't like to talk about it because it makes him uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, I've got this hot glue gun now, so I'm about to have all kinds of joy.
Don't blow it in your milkshake.
Too late.
God damn it. Okay, so we go to the garage, and they want a doggy whistle. And so he pulls out a little tiny dog and then blows it. Then he's covered in a bunch of other little tiny dogs. And that one almost worked for me.
Yeah, yeah. Couched properly, given proper context, it was a silly gag that could have worked.
Could have worked, but of course the dog was in the garage and couldn't hear the dog whistle. But also, it's a car that I guess they do know.
Also,
it's sentient.
These dogs are far too tiny.
They're very small. They are G.I. Joe action figure sized, not the big ones. And then their ultimate plan to get inside the garage. Work with me here. Lloyd bends down with his butt in the air and a target on his butt in front of the garage door. The beaver has a baseball that he throws in the air and whacks with his tail at Lloyd while Harry holds a jugs gun that measures velocity. And Lloyd gets hit in the target with the baseball, sending him flying through the garage door, breaking their way in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding about a single piece of that. That is exactly what happens. And the jugs gun reads 300 miles per hour.
Yeah. Which is hilarious because he got hit in the butt by something going 300 miles an hour.
Yes. But then the car and the inside, the dog car, is out of gas. So they go to a vending machine and get it an icy turbo pop. Just put that in the gas tank. A whole bunch of Mr. Weenie and his bad guy thugs show up to stop them, but they just roll through the front of the garage, destroying the entire garage and seemingly killing all the other sentient cars that were in it. It's a real Taken situation. Where Liam Neeson's not there to help anybody else's kid. And then literally the show ends. That's it.
Yeah, well, they're off to their next road trip thing, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Hold on. There's a sign on the outskirts of town that says, "You are leaving Paris. Y'all come back now. We?"
That's clever.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
I didn't either. I remember the sign, but I don't remember the "we."
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the Dumb and Dumber cartoon series. I do want to look it up now. What happens in episode 2?
I mean, it lived up to its name.
The next episode is called Dumb Luck Dumbbells. Harry and Lloyd, it's a two-parter. It's two halves. So they've already given up on a full episode's worth of content together. Dumb Luck part. Harry and Lloyd take jobs as security guards in a Las Vegas casino and inadvertently thwart a $1 million heist. And then in part 2, Dumbbells, Harry and Lloyd apply for positions as personal trainers at a local fitness center. So we've gone from road tripping to job hopping.
Hmm.
And it would seem that job hopping is what a lot of this is. Harry and Lloyd in episode 3, test pilots for a state-of-the-art military aircraft. Episode 5, Harry and Lloyd are hired to take care of a horse.
Hmm.
So, here's an entire episode later. Harry and Lloyd are trapped on a speeding taco mobile that's been rigged with a stink bomb. It's their speed send up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's depressingly the My Dumb and Dumber. What other, do we have something that's not going to make me hate life coming up?
I doubt it.
Okay, we got the non-kid friendly stuff finally coming up. Next week, we're going to be doing Aliens, and then we're going to be doing Starship Troopers, and then somehow, Chan, an episode of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood? What is that? Why are we doing that? Why are we in episode 4?
I forgot about it.
Why is that even on there? What is wrong with you?
Because Gina says that she's never seen it.
Oh, and, Brotherhood. Yeah.
I don't remember why, but I remember distinctly thinking, "Oh, we absolutely have to watch this."
Well, and we absolutely do not.
It was a gift for future me. And future me is going to enjoy the shit out of it.
All right. Well, we do have one question from the Patreon. before we get out of here, Lord Snurts wants to know the best sandwich shop in our section of Los Angeles. He has his own opinions. I'll read out what Snurts says, and then you all think about it. He likes Rinaldi's in El Segundo. He also likes Cavaretta's in Canoga Park and San Carlos Italian Deli in Chatsworth. I don't know any of those. They all sound great.
I'm actually kind of curious about sandwiches. I'm not a sandwich head, but I like a sandwich, and I'd be really interested in finding a really good one.
The good one I have is Langer's Deli downtown. I believe it's not too far from like Staples Center.
Basic.
Look, I like what I like. You don't even have one, Chan, so what are you telling me about basic?
Fucking Subway, man. Roast beef footlong. Get it.
How are you going to compare Subway to Langer's Deli? Gina, you're the food connoisseur here. Surely you have a favorite sandwich shop in the area.
In the Valley?
Just in LA in general.
Suzanne's Deli is really good. I do like Bay Cities, even though that's everyone's go-to answer.
Damn. Okay.
I feel like Bay Cities, it sounds like it's going to be overhyped, but it's really not. It's really good.
Well, there you go. Well, fair enough. All right. Well, tell you what, if you're a member of our Patreon, patreon.com/knowingisafthepodcast, you have access to our show Discord, where we have a section called Ask a Host, and you can ask questions and we will do them on the air as we just did. How about that, everybody?
Ask a Ho.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. God damn it.
Finish crap.
The after stench, obviously.
Now you're talking about your crap.
I was in the middle of a crap, and I need to get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, are you on the toilet right now?
Yeah, I always podcast from the toilet.
Why wouldn't you? That's brilliant.
Yeah, I'm a multitasker.
Well, that I knew. Oh my goodness! Here we go.
This is gold.
Gold poop.
Yeah.
You're actually going to put this at the end of the episode, aren't you?
100%.
God damn it.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Kohlers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.